Erdogan had a couple of real options. One of them was the former president himself, Abdullah Gül, but no one in Turkey really expected anyone but Davutoğlu to take this job. And that's because this is a politician that has really crafted his entire political career in the shadow and almost in the service of Erdogan. Let's keep in mind that Davutoğlu's first real political position in this country was as chief advisor to Erdogan in 2002. And Davutoğlu is an interesting figure. He's a former professor of international relations who's written extensively on kind of the foreign policy challenges facing the Turkish Republic. And part of his real thinking about Turkey is this kind of neo-Ottoman strain, looking at Turkey emerging as a kind of, in the glory of the former Ottoman Empire with extensive diplomatic relations all over the world, kind of governing affairs from Istanbul. Now, that really worked out quite well leading up to the Arab Spring, and in fact, in the beginning of the Arab Spring. But now that we've seen the Arab Spring collapse, we've seen what's gone on in Egypt with the coup there, as well as this incredibly dangerous security situation in Iraq and Syria, Turkey's basically in a very difficult position, and a lot of Turks are looking to Davutoğlu as the foreign minister, as the primary kind of responsible actor here. And so that's really the risk that we're going to see unfold in the next couple of months of Davutoğlu's rule as prime minister, whether or not these foreign policy risks are going to be addressed and, in fact, changed, and whether or not that will create any sort of backlash on the Turkish street, as it were.
So he sounds like an experienced and capable man, having though served for a long time, as you say, in Erdogan's shadow. But I mean, talk to us about the new role for the Turkish prime minister. Is that now firmly in the shadow of the new president's office?
Well, I wish I could say that it is an independent role, but it's quite clearly not. Erdogan has transformed the political system in Turkey in order to make it into a presidential executive system in which he will have complete and total power. Davutoğlu will have a certain, kind of measure of power as the prime minister, but by all accounts, he's not going to try and forge any sort of, new or different strategy for the country, and he will very much be serving Erdogan's interests. And those interests specifically are in the realm of forging a new constitution that will, in fact, entrench Erdogan's power as president, as well as rooting out what they call the parallel state. Now, these are the members of the Gulenist movement, which are followers of a self-imposed Islamic preacher who lives in exile in the United States, who have been kind of waging a quiet war against the AK party government of Erdogan over the last year. They're basically trying to topple the government. And so we see this kind of entrenched corruption probe coming out from these Gulenists. And Erdogan and Davutoğlu are going to use all of the mechanisms, the levers at their disposal to ensure that these people have no political power whatsoever in the Turkish Republic. And that's exactly the role that Erdogan wants Davutoğlu to fill as the new prime minister of Turkey.
How big a problem is it for Davutoğlu as a prime minister that he's zero problems with neighbors' strategy he has as a foreign minister went pretty wrong?
Well, as I said earlier, it is a major problem that could, spell some sort of political backlash in the next year. There will be parliamentary elections next year, and Davutoğlu, if this strategy continues to fall apart, or if this becomes much more of an issue on the Turkish street, this could spell the end of his political career as prime minister, and there could be some other party heavyweights, perhaps even Gül himself, the former president, that will step up and try and fill that role as prime minister. But what we're going to see in the next couple of months is a renewed effort for a peace agreement between Turkey and the Kurds, specifically the PKK in Turkey, the militant movement that has been basically waging a low-level war against Turkey for the last several years. And so we're going to see a kind of switch, a move away from some of this discussion about what's going on in Iraq and Syria and other regional issues to focus on this Kurdish peace process. And it's going to be a very, very tall order. If they're able to push through some sort of peace agreement, it will solidify a certain modem of power for Davutoğlu and Erdogan. But, this is a very delicate issue that's been burning on the back burners for quite a long time. And so it's not going to be an easy kind of switch or diversion for these politicians. And like I said, it's anyone's guess as to whether or not they're going to succeed.
Dealing with the Kurds is indeed, as you put it, a delicate issue. And it's really probably not the best time to be reshaping the governing structure of a country at a time when there's an escalating war on its doorstep.
I think that's exactly the question, at least, that I've had observing the situation. And it's a question that I've heard from many Turks as well, especially in Istanbul and Ankara and the major cities, that there are some serious foreign policy challenges that need immediate attention, especially in Syria and Iraq with the Islamic State and the fact that there's a number of Islamic State fighters and even, let's say, kind of informal bases in Turkish territory. And like I said, there's going to be a kind of media diversion. There's going to be a diversion to focus on this Kurdish issue, to focus on pushing through some of the peace process initiatives in order to kind of draw away attention and not demonstrate how bad the Turkish foreign policy is, at least in this regional context. Whether or not that's going to work is anyone's guess. If the Islamic State decides that Turkey has become an out-and-out enemy and they decide to launch some sort of attack on Turkish territory, this is going to create a very, very big problem for those in charge. And it's anyone's guess whether or not this is going to happen, but this is exactly the kind of nature of the battle that these politicians are dealing with, the nature of this very complex and fluid situation that's facing them.
Joseph, before we let you go, could you still tell us what these recent changes on the highest political level mean, looking at the ongoing fight between Erdogan's group and the Gulenists?
Well, basically, we see a very, very strong move by Erdogan to really rat out all of the Gulenist influence inside of the Turkish Republic. Now, a small example of this is the fact that the Gulenists have a very, very strong presence in the judiciary of the Turkish Republic, and from that strong presence, they're able to launch a myriad of attacks on Erdogan's rule. Now, as president, Erdogan will have the power to appoint and, in fact, fire judges. And so he's going to be able to completely root out all of this Gulenist influence inside of the judiciary. Now, with Davutoglu as his prime minister, he's also going to be able to influence the new Turkish constitution in a very, very profound way that will probably give him extreme power and leverage to basically do what he sees fit. And so this move by him to become president, to appoint a new prime minister who's very much a close political ally, can be seen as a real attempt to end this Gulenist fight once and for all and see Erdogan emerge victorious. Now, the Gulenists are not going to take this laying down, as it were, and so it's going to be a very lively battle over the next couple of months as to who's going to succeed. But if I was to bet on it, I would say that Erdogan is definitely in control of the situation and will probably emerge victorious.